Good afternoon. From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Quemery. Thank you for tuning in. A Juneau man who was reported missing earlier this month has been found deceased, according to Juneau police. Dion McCabe was 29 years old. He was last seen on May 26th, and family reported him missing on June 5th. His body was found Friday afternoon in a wooded area at the end of Sherwood Lane in the Mendenhall Valley. Deputy Chief Craig Campbell said the death, quote, does not appear to be recent. McCabe was a father to three young girls, according to a GoFundMe page his family made. The fundraiser was set up during his disappearance and will now be used to pay for a memorial service, according to his sister's Facebook post. Juneau police say McCabe's body will be taken to Anchorage for an autopsy. The police are investigating the circumstances surrounding his death and encourage anyone with information to contact the department at 907-586-0600. Anonymous tips may be submitted through the Juneau Crime Line. And the Juneau Assembly passed a resolution Thursday declaring a local emergency in anticipation of the annual glacial outburst flood expected later this summer. Since the catastrophic 2024 flood impacted around 300 homes in the Mendenhall Valley, the city has operated under an ongoing emergency due to the continued threat to the community. Last year, the city issued a preemptive disaster declaration nearly a week before the record-breaking flood on August 13th. This summer's declaration authorizes the city to implement emergency orders necessary to protect the safety of residents. The declaration includes a request for state assistance with emergency permitting in and around the Mendenhall River. Jeremy Zittick is a spokesperson for the Alaska Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management. He told KTOO it's unusual to declare disasters before there's damage, but the governor did so last year in case a large response to the 2025 flood became necessary.
I would say that these pre-disaster declarations aren't typical, but unique circumstances sometimes require some unique solutions.
Zittick says the city's preemptive declaration is a proactive approach to an unusually predictable flood. The resolution passed without discussion and remains in effect through December 15, 2026. The Juneau Assembly passed a resolution late last week during a special meeting to support the homeporting of a second Coast Guard icebreaker in Juneau. Whether that will become a reality is uncertain. The resolution follows an announcement by the Coast Guard earlier this month that three new icebreakers would be homeported in Alaska, two in Kodiak, one in Seward. President Trump's reconciliation bill last summer, called the One Big Beautiful Bill, included the construction of 11 new Coast Guard icebreakers. The Coast Guard hasn't yet announced the intended home ports for the eight other ships. This is Juneau Mayor Beth Weldon in an interview explaining the resolution.
Well, we had heard that Alaska was getting several icebreakers now, so we figured that we would put our name in for getting another one.
In 2024, the Coast Guard announced its plan to home port an icebreaker in Juneau after Congress passed a spending bill that appropriated money for the ship's purchase. The 360-foot Storrs was originally an oil field services ship that was converted into a polar icebreaker. It's designed to operate in the Arctic and expand U.S. presence in the region. The U.S. Coast Guard officials say the ship is planned to be officially homeported in Juneau in 2029, following the completion of $300 million worth of shoreside infrastructure. According to the Assembly's resolution, the Coast Guard says it's considering homeporting one of the new icebreakers in Juneau as well, but nothing has been made official. The Coast Guard confirmed the concept in a slideshow presentation to the city, state, and tribal entities in Juneau. The Assembly's resolution says the city pledges to work with the Coast Guard and other agencies to ensure, quote, exceptional housing, schooling, and community support for incoming service members and their families. According to the city, the icebreakers are estimated to bring in more than 200 active Coast Guard personnel and more than 400 of their family members to town combined. And the Juneau Assembly recently passed a city budget for the next fiscal year that reduces funding to the Juneau Douglas City Museum due to a revenue shortfall. The reductions will result in the museum laying off two staff members and drastically cutting back its hours. KTOO's community news intern, Elin Chappelle, recently chatted with people outside the museum to learn more about what having access to local history means to them.
I'm Anne Clark, and I'm from England. I chose to visit the museum because you want to learn about the place that you've just visited. So instead of just coming off and doing the standard stuff, I wanted to see what Juneau was about. Learning about local history just helps you understand the people that live here, the environment, everything about it. So the reason that people stay, what's here now, what's the economy like here now, everything.
My name is Fred Treem, and I live over on 4th Street, a short distance away. I visit frequently because they have interesting art displays and special events. But also I use it quite frequently as a resource for getting historic information and historic photographs and old documents. The museum has a special place or use for me because it's a repository for Telephone Hill and the ancient switchboard that was used in the Webster House. So I love the museum. Learning about local history is important because it educates us about the things that we need to respect and the things we need to protect.
My name is Hein Skalstra. I am from the Netherlands, living in Panama at the moment. I chose to visit this museum because I am interested in history. I am not going to think that I'm going to remember all the details, but it's just good to see that. And I think history is important for all of us to remember what we have done and what we can do and how we can keep things the way we want them to keep. So that's about it.
I'm Diane Bales. I am from Bloomfield, Iowa, which is down on the Iowa-Missouri border. I want to learn about the history of the town, and it's important to me. I went to the state capitol. I'm taking the tour this afternoon. We come to the museum so we can learn not just the tourist things that draw the tourists, but the real history and the real people of Juneau. It tells us their story.
And it's Pride Month, and Juneau joins other communities nationwide in celebrating LGBTQ plus people. One couple in Juneau, Maureen Longworth and Lynn Davis, have dedicated their lives to advocating for LGBTQ plus rights. As KTOO's Clarice Larson reports, the couple was part of a lawsuit decades ago that dramatically changed LGBT rights for state and municipal workers in Alaska.
Maureen Longworth and Lynn Davis met on a late-night dog walk at the Oakland Rose Garden in California in 1987. That was nearly 40 years ago, though Longworth remembers it clear as day.
I had just gotten off work and was walking my dog, but it was like near midnight, I think, nighttime. Yeah. And bumped into Lynn walking her dogs. Every single day after we met, we walked our dogs at the Rose Garden every night.
A lot has happened since that first walk. The pair moved to Juneau in 1992. They live on Douglas Island, retired with their dog Riley Raven. It's been more than two decades since the pair joined a lawsuit that would change LGBTQ rights for state and municipal workers in Alaska. It started because Longworth needed intensive dental work, and her employer wouldn't cover it. Davis worked for the state's Department of Labor and Workforce Development at the time, where straight married couples could share employment benefits, like health insurance, with their partners. But Davis was denied the same benefits for her partner.
We had to pay for it out of pocket. But my co-workers out at the Department of Labor and Workforce Development, they would have automatically had their partners, their marriage partners, covered.
The women couldn't get legally married in Alaska back then. Alaska was actually the first state to ban gay marriage through a constitutional amendment in 1998. And though they had gotten married in other states and held a ceremony with friends and family, it wasn't recognized by Alaska. So in 1999, they, along eight other gay and lesbian couples and the Alaska Civil Liberties Union, sued the state and the municipality of Anchorage. The lawsuit demanded equal benefits for domestic partnerships. It was filed right after the state amended its constitution to define marriage as only between a man and a woman. Longworth said it felt necessary to take a stance.
That there was no protection for people to take care of their families.
And in 2005, 6 years later, they won. The Alaska Supreme Court ruled that denying spousal benefits for gay couples was an equal protection violation. It meant that local governments and the state were required to make employment benefits accessible to people in domestic partnerships.
It was unbelievable. We started screaming, and I was screaming at work and telling all my coworkers.
And you called me, and I was in the library garage downtown, and I just started crying. We just couldn't even believe it.
Since then, the pair has spent decades continuing to advocate for LGBTQ rights in Juneau and Alaska, even after Davis was diagnosed with leukemia a year and a half ago. They do that in part by unapologetically sharing their relationship with the world.
We come out to people like six times a day, just sharing what this is as wife and wife going through a pretty fatal diagnosis.
Davis says fighting for LGBTQ plus rights opened the door for them to live their lives openly and joyfully.
In Hamlet, there's that line, to thine own self be true. So go forward, be brave, may have to be brave every day, but steady forward.
You can see why I married her. Isn't that the kind of person you'd want to live with?
And they commend and appreciate the young LGBTQ plus people who are taking up the torch to advocate for the community and to live bravely. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
And earlier this month, Alaska's acting attorney general announced a $20,000 settlement with a jewelry company that operates in Ketchikan, Juneau, and has two locations in Skagway. The settlement stems from a 2025 investigation into the sale of fake gold quartz that was advertised as genuine and originating from Alaska. Neither claim was true. The product was being sold by SAI Investments LLC or Miner's Gems. Gold quartz is a milky white gemstone with veins of gold. It's a rare gemstone, often used in jewelry. The man-made version can be difficult to distinguish from the genuine article. The state says that on two separate instances, Miner's Gems employees told undercover agents that the gold quartz was found in Alaska glaciers, but the gold quartz was man-made and originated from outside the state. Acting Alaska Attorney General Corey Mills says, quote, "The settlement protects tourists, supports honest businesses, and upholds the integrity of Alaskan gold jewelry, a product that has long showcased the natural wonders of Alaska. It's also a warning to other companies that try to market non-Alaska-made products in a dishonest manner," unquote. Miner's Gems in Skagway did not respond to KHNS's phone calls for comment. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's 66 degrees and overcast. It looks like we may see some rain tonight. There's a 70% chance, with a low of 53 degrees. Tomorrow, it looks like it might dry out again, with a high of 66. The rain may return on Wednesday. This is KTOO. Thank you for tuning in.